Hello, welcome to Spotlight. More creativity in half an hour than the rest of the day put together.
Spotlight, brought to you by the Isle of Man Arts Council.
This evening, more from the creative whirlwind JMG, Jackie Murray Grace. I head to Laxey for the Great Laxey Brass Band Festival coming up this very weekend. And we finish our chat with former chair of the Isle of Man Poetry Society, Bethany DeLee Runciman. Remember, do get in touch with any creative artistic endeavours you might be involved in, planning, hoping to create, or would really like to put in the spotlight. This programme, poetry, there's more of that again, theatre, yeah, a bit of that, music, yes, we've got that as well this week. No literature, don't think, though. Ceramic, sculpture, drag, film, mime, social media, digital stuff. Don't get a lot of digital, I'm surprised. Calligraphy, I wish I could do it. There are calligraphers out there, get in contact. Howard Kane, with an E, at manxradio.com. Spotlight at maxradio.com. Let's get you featured on the show if you've got some sort of event coming up or want to talk about your art. So many creative people on the island, so little time. Well, we were enjoying a catch-up with artistic polymath JMG, Jackie Murray Grace, last week after something of a hiatus, at least for her, in her creative output over the last 18 months or so. Now back with a vengeance, she's knee-deep in an exciting new project, a darkly comic play, work in progress, inspired by Greek mythology and classical themes, called Tartarus. She told me more about how it had come about last week and also how she's linking up with an island-based broken folk duo.
So I started writing this in response to these, the Lunar Tractors. Do you know the Lunar Tractors?
Yes, I do, the band.
Yeah?
Yep.
So they came over and they performed at Peel Centenary and we got connected and they said that, you know, they'd like to collaborate on something. And then I got excited and started writing the play, and then I sent them about 17 little mini videos, and I don't know if they expected that. But I carried on doing it and we carried on communicating because she is a dark clown. That's kind of part of her persona. And I love their sounds. If you've ever seen them, they're like Broken Folk is what they call themselves, a husband and wife duo. So
yes,
we started
been
doing
on Spotlight.
Yeah, they've been on Spotlight.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm deeply in love with them. I love them so much. So we've been communicating, and then as I carried on writing the play, I started getting a bit panicky because I was writing the part of Grimaldi for Carly, actually, and I thought, there's no way, it's too intense and heavy, and it's mainly just two characters in the whole play, and I thought, it's going to be too hard. She won't be able to do the music at the same time. And then I was cutting down her words. I thought, I can't do this. I've got to stay true to myself. So basically, I've communicated with them. And they're actually really keen. They want to do the music for it. But we've got lots of logistics to work out. And that's part of the problem when it comes to when we're going to perform it. And they have suggested that they're going to record a soundtrack.
Brilliant.
And I might even go to Ireland and help them do it with my trombone.
Yeah.
Although I don't like to associate trombones with clowns. But I don't think they should be. They're not a clown instrument. So in the meantime, I spotted an actor who I really kind of vibed with and I really liked. And I just thought, you know what? I think they could do this clown part, do Grimaldi. So I asked them, and it's Gondo, whose surname I don't know, but he's really excited. So he came down. We had this work on progress evening on Saturday, and he came down and saw the script for the first time. And we actually performed a little bit together, which was amazing to see, because one of the logistics, which is complicated, is how to pull it off with really just two characters. Mm-hmm. I might have to add another one in, I think, in the second half. So we got the opportunity to do that and see, but I think we work really well together. I'm really, really excited about, because I that's where I get my kind of buzz, is collaboration.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, brilliant. So it is quite, as you're saying, would you say it's on the darker side of things again? Because it sounds like it's sort of quite darkly mythical.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know you like the dark side of things in your work.
I do. I mean, I was a bit concerned it was following like a similar trajectory to like On Ravensdale Hill or Scylla's Song. I really, really, I'm hoping to perform a Scylla's Song this year.
Mm-hmm.
Tartarus, I'm thinking no later than February, simply because of logistics. And I would prefer to have the Lunar Tractors on the Isle of Man.
That'd be lovely.
Than have the recorder thing. But if that's the way it is, that's the way it is. Or go to Ireland and do it over there. Or you know, do stuff with it. But it's a similar kind of trajectory. So they're my two other poetic, they're like woman plays, and they're pretty dark. We did a film from Ravensdale Hill, which I need to do more with. I haven't I need to, yeah, get it out there a bit
more. Yeah, I've seen bits of that. Oh, certainly, yes, up in the hills and going out.
I'm really pleased with how it worked out. And again, I had this phenomenal cast for that. You know, I couldn't have asked for a better team. There were 12 of us and I could not have asked for better people. It was so good. So, you know, I like to get like a feel with people and I've never got it wrong when I've kind of got a vibe and thought that this is going to work. But yeah, when it comes to like when we are going to perform, that's an issue because there's all these elements. It's not just me performing. Mm-hmm. It's not even necessarily local people performing. So we've got to, basically get everyone together. In my head, I'm thinking the script is going to be finished quite soon, though, because I've got all the bits.
Yeah, just getting it all together.
Although I got to get frustrated with it yesterday, but then I got home and I thought, and I did that poem, and then I thought, I think I know what I need to do, but it might be introducing a different thing, element into it,
And what sort of length do you think the finished piece will be?
I think if you put all the poems together, they're probably going to rock in about 35, 40 minutes. Mm-hmm. So when you pad all that out with music and action, because of course I write thick and fast and furious. So once you've padded it out, these things do always get a bit longer. And I think, well, it gives us loads of breathing room. So a full length thing, I think, is a plan. Yeah, yeah.
It does sound fascinating, like all of JMG's work. You know, I never feel I fully understand it, but I'm in awe of her creative mind. Stay tuned for more updates, I hope, in months ahead. Now, the May bank holiday is coming up this weekend, and that means all roads lead to Laxey. A bit of a clue in the music here. It is the 9th Great Laxey Brass Band Festival. I brought two of the people heavily involved in its organisation into the studio.
We are back for the 9th year, coming bigger and better than ever.
And so, for those who haven't been before, what actually happens?
Well, we feel it's a really nice format, and I know the bands really enjoy the format. We get them to come and play in various places in Laxey. This year it's at the Glen Gardens Pavilion is one of the venues, the Village Square and the Queen's Hotel. Unfortunately, one of our popular venues, the Mines Tavern, we've had to step back from that a little because we're not sure whether it's going to be open. It's currently closed, so a slight change in venues, but basically the bands travel around those venues throughout the afternoon, and then the piece de la resistance is the mass band event at the end of the afternoon, where they all come together as one and have a big blast off in the Village Square. And that's proven very popular with audiences and also the bands themselves. So, it's a good day. Really nice day out, I think. And with Keisha on board, we're trying to get it even more family-orientated. And she's been working very hard on that this year.
Right, give us the lowdown on that, because it is a sort of a family event. Yeah. It's not just for the brass band enthusiasts.
Absolutely. So they've hit the nail on the head with the musical fans. We've got a really good core of people coming in for that. And so this year we've tried to sort of develop into having a family village as well. We're going to have bouncy castles, we've got face painters, we've got children's entertainers, we've got a storytelling tent with Rob from the Manx Bedtime Story Project. He's been writing loads of lovely books, so he's going to do, anyone needs a bit of chilling out time, they can come, sit in the storytelling tent, have a bit of peace and quiet in there. And then we're also going to try and have we're calling it the Sound Playground. So it's a tent of musical instruments that children can just come and have a go.
Just children?
Anybody can come and have a go. We welcome everybody.
I was liking the sound of that, I thought I might.
Yeah, yeah. Well, the whole idea is to just bring in as many people we can to develop this love of music. Because we see this as an ongoing event. You know, it is a highlight in the calendar of the musical world for the brass bands. But if we can bring in some kids and they can just see somebody on a French horn and think, oh, that's interesting, I'll have a go at that one day. In another few years, these guys would be playing at the Brass Band Festival.
Which is absolutely right. How did it actually start off, Martin? Who was the instigator of it?
Well, It's been successful, so I shouldn't really claim responsibility for that. But initially it was my idea, but I mean, it was a stolen idea. It is kind of a homage to what goes on in Saddleworth in the UK. Obviously, it's not quite as grand as that, but we feel it's, although it's kind of based on that format in a sense that the bands are travelling around, it's a very different event. You know, this is very much an enjoyment thing. Usually the bands have come off the back of the Guild, which is rightly so, very serious and competitive. This isn't really that, and I think the bands enjoy coming from that atmosphere into a really nice, joyful atmosphere, hopefully, you know, and the feedback from them is you know, it's really good each year. You know, they seem to have enjoyed themselves and got about a bit in Lexi, yeah.
Absolutely. And there's five, I don't know how many bands we have in total on the Isle of Man, but just let's give a name check to the five bands who will be appearing at Lexi this year then.
Yeah, well, I'll try.
it's a tester for you.
Ramsey Town Band, Onken Silver Band, Castletown Silver Band, Russian Silver Band, and Manx Youth Band. Unfortunately, we've lost Douglas, who were, you know, it's a great shame. They've got other commitments and things, people off, off Ireland. But they will be missed, but I'm sure they'll be back next year for the 10th edition. So, it's going to be a good event. Five bands is great.
We were also saying, just as we were coming up and saying, with all these things, of course, this is an outdoor event. The bands are going, and so we are always keeping our fingers crossed and praying to the weather gods, as always, because it can sort of really make a difference. Does it go ahead even if the weather's not quite playing ball?
Absolutely. No, it doesn't. Look, being honest, we've done it 9 years and we've never had to cancel.
Touchwood.
There was a postponement during COVID year. We went later in the year. But I'm not going to say what everybody knows I almost said then about the weather. In the past, we've got lucky. Yeah. So more of the same, please. Yeah.
Fingers crossed, absolutely, on that one. And again, it's become a real... I think the thing it is, it has become an established date on the calendar now, I think, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, just the spectacle of it itself. You've got... Lexi is perfectly situated for something like this. The valley is like a natural amphitheater, so you have a band playing up in Lexi Glen and you can hear it down through the glen. You have another one up at the Queen's Hotel and it just bounces around the whole village. So you come in on the tram and you can hear the music playing. And then, you know, like Martin was saying, at 4 o'clock, when we have all five bands in the village square, all playing the same things, it gives you goosebumps. It's throughout the whole village, you can just hear this thrum of music. And that with that, it brings such a happiness to the community.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
We've got some wonderful shops and cafes. We've got the gelato now. It's so worth a day out, and it just brings this big theme tune to it.
And that's the great thing, isn't it? Exactly that. You've got a reason to go there, and so people might sort of go through Lexi and say, oh, yes, but if you're coming there and you've got all the bands, then it's got that atmosphere going on, and you can hear the music and paddle around and explore the village as well.
Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can get down to the beach, you know, which is another dimension to Lexi. So get down to the beach and there's two great cafes down there.
And do people tend to dip in and out, or do they come? Do you find most of them will come for the whole day, assuming the sun's about a bit?
I would say it's mixed, but I would say most people do come for the whole afternoon. But, some people do, just come along for an hour, you know, and possibly make that at 4 o'clock when all the bands play together. But... as Keisha says, it's a really good atmosphere throughout the afternoon. So, if you've only got an hour or two, please still come down. You know, we'd be
very
glad
happy
to see you.
Yeah, and as you say, it is, and again, we'll just stress again, it's not just for the hardcore brass band enthusiasts. You can bring granddad, granny, the kids along. You can make a sort of a whole family day out of it.
Absolutely. Bring a picnic blanket, bring a deck chair for granddad, set him up. And it's just a wonderful day. If you can make walking around the stages, do it. But if not, sitting in the square is more than enough to enjoy it.
Brilliant. And can you, and again, because someone's bound to ask me this or thinking about it, if they're listening to this, Can you sort of get a, if you want to have a beer or a glass of something, can you get one and wander around, or do you have to be on the premises there? How does that work?
How it's worked in the past is that people have been able to do that to an extent, but I suppose I've not noticed many people wandering too far from the environs of the pub they've bought the beer in. They serve them in plastic glasses and things like that. So
it makes a lot of sense.
It's
certainly
possible. Yeah, yeah.
Splendid, and we should also mention the trams. Of course, you can get a tram out there as well. I suppose.
Absolutely. Get the tram or the bus. You know, Laxey is a small village, and our parking is slightly limited. We'll try and fit everybody in, but we would really encourage coming on the tram. It just makes an event of it as well. You know, it's a real day out. If your kids love going on the bus, they love going on the tram. So, yeah, it makes it even more fun.
And we should also say the great thing, of course, is that all of this is free.
Yeah, absolutely. The commissioners are supporting the whole thing. So all of the children's entertainment, the music, it's all for nothing. So all you'd have to pay for is your bus fare, really. So we'd love to see you. The parking's for free, as Laxey as well. And, it's a great day out. There's no barriers. Everyone can come.
Brilliant. Although we should say, if you're wanting a beer, you're going to have to pay for it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay, it is Sunday, 3rd of May. Starts at 1 p.m, runs through to 5 p.m. And just remind us then, Martin, again, the great, as you say, the pièce de résistance at the end when all the bands come together. I don't know, how many people is that? Do we know? That must be a goodly sized band when they're all...
With five bands, you're probably talking up to 150 musicians.
Can you imagine that? 150 all playing brass instruments. That is one hell of a sound, isn't it?
Yeah, fantastic, yeah. And they do all play together.
Yeah, brilliant. And that, what time is that? So that's around 4 p.m. a bit later?
4 p.m.
4 p.m. Yeah. We'll keep our fingers crossed that the sun stays out.
Yeah. Hopefully I've not jinxed it. Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Martin Royal and Keisha Sproul-Crane from Garth Commissioners. And hope Martin hasn't put the jinx on the festival there, talking about the weather. No, he hasn't. It's going to be lovely. It's going to be lovely. What I suggest is just go prepared for Manx weather. And you know what that means, Manxies? Sunglasses, hat, sun cream, shorts, over trousers, fleece, and a rainproof. Before we go, last word from former chair, though still highly active member, as we were hearing last week, of the Isle of Man Poetry Society, Bethany Dalee Runciman. And she wanted to tell me of something of a first for the Poetry Society.
We've never done this before as a Poetry Society. Roger and I are going into the prison.
That's interesting,
I never worked with prisoners. I mean, I've been involved with GRI for a long, long time, so I understand and can work with certainly the men in that sort of issue with drugs and homelessness, etc. But the poetry workshops are there to again make the people feel comfortable with the environment. And we will start off just doing very, very short sentences. We've got a few poems to read out to the people as well when they come in, and then gradually just to build up the poems. It's going to be about just seeing what the situation is, seeing how much people understand with English and with poems, if anybody's written poems before. So it's going to have to be done by ear, just to see what's going on. But we've got some books to give to the prison as well, which the prisoners can access about poetry.
That'd be really interesting. I wouldn't mind betting you'll have a really surprising results to that one.
I think so too. What I've learnt on the internet with other organisations that have run poetry workshops in prison is that it is very eye-opening that the people write very emotive and excellent poems.
I could see that. Could be a real eye-opener, that one, I must admit.
We're running 6 sessions in total. This is all thanks to Manx Lottery Trust. I was thinking yesterday, how many grant forms have I filled in for the Poetry Society? Culture Vanin, I did Arts Society once, Arts Council, and then I've done Manx Lottery Trust, have been brilliant, and their thematic funding this year, they've given us £6,000 to do, and it's also to go into nursing homes homes. Nursing homes are slightly different. I went into Summerhill View and it was a lovely chat. I read out some of my poems, but the themes then, so if it's a poem about a dog, then I can get talking with them and ask people, have you had a dog? Do you like dogs? And you have this conversation then, because it's not about writing poems in nursing homes. It's just having people out of their rooms, getting together, socialise, cup of tea and a piece of cake as well. Yes, and it was a lovely 2 hours with them that I did. So we're going to do some more of those as well.
So it sounds to me that even though technically you've stood down as chair, you're probably at least as active, if not more active, than you have been over the last few years.
Roger said to me, can you write down what you do as chair of the Poetry Society? And I had 12 points, 12 things, plus a few more that maybe didn't need to be done. But I certainly want the society to keep going as we are, and I love doing it. The grant forms now, I've got so used to doing them that it doesn't actually take too long. And in fact, I always apply for the small grants up to £2,500 from Manx Lottery Trust. So the grant form is only 2 pages, so it's that's okay.
Relatively straightforward. Mm. So do you actually find much time in between all this in your own life to actually write poetry yourself outside of the workshop environment?
Well, to be honest with you, no, not really. I'm heavily involved with the church as well. I run a children's church on a Sunday morning, and that takes up a lot of time. I do write some poems. I've got one here, it's actually a true story. This is the most bizarre incident I've ever known, and I've been in some bizarre incidents on the Isle of Man. But I wrote this because I have tried to be the Manx Bard, and I've got very close 3 times. And in fact, I might have been it last year or the year before, but Annie Kazak said that she thought there was a clash between Isle of Man Poetry Chair and the Manx Bard. I suppose, the Manx Bards, I think that it's lovely to have new people actually come through. I'm rather an old hat with the Poetry Society these days, but it's nice seeing a new person come along with new ideas and new thoughts.
Lovely. Let's hear the poem.
It's called Queenie Carnage, All Right. One summer's evening, the sunshine very bright, my husband and I drove to Ramsey to stroll along its sights. A busy fishing boat offloading sacks into a lorry, the men heaving and hauling, pushing sack above each sack. The smell of sea was hanging heavy in the humid air as the lorry departed quickly, later so did we. Sure, we'd never see them again, but how wrong were we? We hadn't travelled far when we caught up to the lorry. There were gallons of seawater gushing out, and the back door was left half open. We both approached the hairpin as we commenced the mountain road. The lorry decelerated quickly, circling the bend with centrifugal force, meant lorry unstable, ejecting a white sack, trajectory our car, desperate avoidance, a big swerve, sack its road, splits, explodes. Next white sack, trajectory our car, bashes, smashes. Next white sack, trajectory out, crashed, dashed. The lorry accelerated out of sight, our car bonnet thankfully spared. Gingerly exiting the car, we surveyed Queenie Carnage everywhere. Split, sprayed, smashed, damaged, destroyed, died. The black tarmac was now splattered red and orange bits. Mobile phone on, I called the Ramsey police to assist us to clean up the mess. My request was met with silence. He thinks you're pissed, Ernie said. 10 minutes later, the officer arrived. He didn't seem to be in a hurry. Exited his car, crunched, scrunched, looking around, confused and then aghast. Gosh, I think I need backup and a big brush. We departed and found the lorry stopped. They knew something had happened. We told them to go back to see the police. Then undamaged, relieved and thankful that our car had escaped, we looked at each other and laughed. What a close call, what a close shave, what an unbelievable night, Queenie Carnage, all right.
And this is true.
It is true. It is absolutely true. Unbelievable that was. I mean, the mess.
Yeah, everywhere.
I've never seen anything like it. And when I phoned up the police, I honestly think they must have thought I had a bottle of vodka or something.
But it's a great example, isn't it, of exactly what you're talking about, of how poetry can be found anywhere, really. And you were saying, you know, the kids sometimes struggling to find a theme to start writing on. And it can be anything. It can be from right within the heart, and as you say, and something, as we were talking about with the prisoners, will probably be really emotive and really from the heart and inside. And then it can just be something really bizarre and odd and just a funny moment or a weird incident like that, which can inspire people to actually write a poem. It's just wonderful, isn't it?
Yes, it is, yes. We've actually, we're moving, the Poetry Pop-In has always been on a Sunday evening. We're having problems because, I mean, a lot of people work on a Monday morning, don't really want to go out on a Sunday evening. And so we're going to move it to a Friday evening. So the next Poetry Pop-In is Friday, the 22nd of May, and it's still at the Archibald Knox meeting room, and it's 7:30 till 9:30 as usual. So it's just the date, it's a Friday. And we're going to see if we can get more people coming on the Friday rather than the Sunday. And we're going to be running some open mics this summer as well.
Great idea. And if people want to find more about the Society, go online, then go to the website?
Well, we have the website, www.alefmanpoetrysociety.com. So all one word, long, Alefman. So, we have a Facebook page as well, Alefman Poetry Society.
I think it's a great idea to move the pop-ins to the Friday. It should get more audience there, I'm certain. Look forward to hearing how those prison poetry sessions went. That's about it for this week, though. We'll be talking to the grand dame of the Manx drag scene, the one and only Vida LaFierce, next week, among other joys. In the meantime, be good, whatever you're doing. Be creative about it. Hemo.